Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable episode 114, where we'll be talking about Once Upon a Time season 6 episodes 21 and 22, The Final Battle part 1 and part 2. I'm your host Brittany, and tonight I'm joined by the birthday girl Caitlin and Karen and Kristen. Hi everyone, how you doing?
Hello.
Happy birthday, Caitlin.
Happy Woo! Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Aw, yeah. Got a lot going on here.
I'm a dog mom.
Yes, you are. It's a double duty day for you.
It's my birthday, and it's my Mother's Day for my pup. He didn't get me a card.
Oh, that's rude. Gage.
I didn't get my mom a card, so.
What good is having a dog if it, like, won't give you a card for Mother's Day, or do the dishes, or pay the rent? Like, God. Your purpose?
If animals could do dishes.
Oh, my God. We would be in heaven. We would have all the pets, Karen.
I will train our cat to do dishes. If it means we can have a cat.
I would like to see that.
It would just lick it clean. It's fine.
I did find my cat in the sink once, so maybe they might. You could get them there.
Secret dishwashing cat.
You can lead a cat to water, but will it wash the dishes?
That's the important things to know.
So let's jump into this episode, which is the end of a lot of our characters. So let's do a quick thumbs up, thumbs down for the season 6 finale, and we'll kick it off with Caitlin.
Okay, I'm going to go thumbs sideways because there were things that I liked. I found the wrap up at the end kind of enjoyable, but oh my God, I have no idea what happened in half of this thing. And so for lack of clarity, I'm docking some points.
All right. And Kristen?
It's a thumbs up for me. There's enough really solid reflection and some really nice nods back to the pilot and to previous episodes, and just some really lovely little moments in the midst of all of the crazy magical hijinks. So yeah, it's a thumbs up for me.
Karen, welcome back. What about you?
Thank you. You know what? I'm going to go with thumbs up. It was a last hurrah. There was a lot of stuff going on. It was nice to see the characters come together and all the different things that happened. Yes, it was crazy. Yes, there could be some more clarification. But you know what? It kind of just did the Once Upon a Time thing. And I thought it had a really solid ending. I was really surprised by it. So I was kind of into it.
All right, and I'm going to give it, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the first hour a thumb sideways, and I'll give the second hour a thumbs up because, like Caitlin, I liked the ending a lot. Going into this episode, we knew that a bunch of the characters were heading for their final bow, and I thought it wrapped up pretty nicely, and we got everyone back to Storybrooke, and Storybrooke still existed, kind of, and I kind of enjoyed the setting that we're going to have in season 7, and it wasn't an entire episode setup, it was a 2-minute setup for a whole new series, it almost feels like, but the first hour was just dragging on, and I think that they were trying to overhandedly parallel the first, the pilot and that first season and hit all the familiar notes, and just wasn't really working for me. And again, if you try to convince me that there are easy ways to create portals, I'm automatically going to hate it. So you had two strikes against you in the first hour, the Mad Hatter's hat and the magic bean. Before we jump into our favorite quotes though, because Karen is back with us,
Leaf.
Can't get it out of my head. That was great.
Little rewatchable humor for you guys.
I'm going to leave that in. Karen, why don't you tell us what you thought of the musical episode?
Yes, thank you. I was really bummed that I couldn't make it last week, but things just got so crazy for me. You know what? I loved it. I really unapologetically loved it. I really like the fact that they decided that they knew how cheesy they were going into this, and they just embraced it. And I think that was really the only way they could have done it, because if they had taken themselves too seriously, then it just wouldn't have flown as well. But I thought the Charmings were absolutely delightful. And Kristen kept saying, just give them their own musical show. And I was like, yes, I would watch the hell out of that. Hands down. And I was kind of hoping for a little something more from Regina. I think that what they tried to do was really great, but for me, her voice just didn't really get me there. Emma was great, though. Hook was, Hook was great. And of course, the wedding and the ending and everything was really cool. But yeah, I really quite enjoyed the musical aspect of it. It was a lot of fun.
I am shocked. We
really
we enjoyed it as well, but definitely not that much.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I think that was overall the response that I got from reading people's comments on the internet. And we ran a poll on our Onceable Twitter, and 85% of people loved it. So yeah, I think it was a huge hit. Everyone seemed to like it.
And you know what? I watched this immediately after watching the episode before it, where I just wanted to gouge my eyes out because Rumple's the savior. So maybe that had something to do with it.
Oof. Yeah, it was like a chaser.
Yes. I mean, it can only get better after that. So
yeah. Oh, that's something we need to talk about in this episode as well. But before we get to that, let's go through some of our favorite quotes from the finale. Karen, why don't you pick it up?
All right. So there were a lot of great quotes here, and you guys pretty much stole them all. So that's whatever. But one of my favorite ones that definitely made me laugh out loud was, I don't remember exactly how this went, but it's when Killian was talking to David, and they're in the giant, they're up the beanstalk. And he just goes, I'm a pirate, mate. Do you not think I've never swung from a mast before? And it was just, I don't know. It was great pirate humor. I was into it. I love those two together.
Yeah, I was excited to get a little bro venture. But again, when you have 2 hours and you have Hook, like, you know, jumping over giant sausages, I'm like, all right, we could have written something else here.
Sniffing giant wine corks.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Kristen, what was yours?
Mine came from David, and it was Snow was running around looking for him in the remains of the beanstalk, and she finds him, and she plants one on him, and he wakes up, and she says something like, did you ever question that I'd find you? And he responds, truthfully, the beanstalk that fell on me gave me pause. Like, it was just really cute, and I love them, so I'm glad that I like how things ended for them. It's, you know, it fits. It's Snow and Charming.
And Caitlin, what about you?
So mine is when Henry is trying to convince Emma, when she's under the curse, that she just got married to Hook. And Emma's not having it. And she says, Captain Hook, who officiated Tinkerbell? And without missing a beat, Henry says, no, Jiminy Cricket.
I love how he can deliver all of these lines still with, like, even all the actors, it's just deadpan. Like, it's so wonderful.
When you can answer, no, Jiminy Cricket, and feel, like, slightly indignant.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So good. So mine was also a beanstalk moment. It's when Snow finds Hook on the ground, and, you know, she, like, wakes him up, and he's like, hello, mommy. And then, you know, Jasmine's so confused, and Snow just has to look at her and goes, there was a wedding. That's going to take some getting used to.
Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
I shot up from the couch screaming and walked out of the room dying. I could not breathe.
She goes, I'm done. I'm done.
She's like, I'm done. I don't need anything else from the show. I'm done. It was the weirdest thing they've ever done, but I was like so into it. I don't know. It makes no sense. I'm sweating.
We have lost all our ability to handle this show at the end of season 6.
I'm just under the assumption he had a concussion at that point.
It was so cute, and it really tied in well with, like, the rest of the, you know, the weirdness of, I'm the same age as you, but I'm going to call you mom and dad. Weirdness of this show. So I thought it was really fitting.
And David had just been like, it's okay, son.
Oh, I know.
In-law.
That was so weird.
Yeah. So, that all just played into it.
All right. So, speaking of full circle moments, let's kick it off our discussion of this 2-hour finale with Karen, because I really did like this moment, and I think it mirrors a lot of other moments in this season, especially because the beginning of this episode kicked off with that whole Henry montage of him being the true believer and convincing Emma in this belief that, you know, she is the savior and she has to come to this town for a purpose. So I really liked the moment that you picked, and I would like to touch on that.
Yeah, I think this was one of the strongest moments of the episode, actually, because obviously throughout, Emma is trapped in the mental hospital and she's losing her belief, and that in turn is affecting the rest of the world. And again, just like in season one, Henry is the one who has a firm belief. He knows what is true. He knows magic exists, even when everybody tells him that it doesn't. Even when Emma is basically giving up, he constantly stands by his beliefs. And I think that's one of the best things about his character and the reason why he is the heart of the show and always has been. So it was kind of nice to see him taking on this role again, because he has been kind of on the sidelines for this season, but at the end he really came out to kind of do his thing. But it was nice to see that parallel between season one and season six. And especially we're getting toward the end, and I mean, kid carrying a sword down Main Street, like, he had good intentions. Really stupid thing to do, but you know, he was trying. And I like that Emma came back and everything. And when they finally got to the final battle and Gideon stabbed her and she died or whatever actually happened there, the fact that he gave her true love's kiss and this whole thing came full circle, it was just a really nice moment. And I mean, obviously super glad Emma's not dead, because considering we know Jennifer Morrison's not coming back, I wasn't entirely sure how they were going to handle this, although I doubted that they were going to kill her off. But yeah, just having Henry be so important in the end is a great thing that they did, because again, he's been the heart of the show from the very beginning. And I think that got lost a little bit along the way, but now that it's sort of, you know, we're going to see where it goes, obviously, but hopefully that continues to be true.
I think it was really awesome that they kept Henry as the person who still believed even in spite of the curse. And I think that obviously has to do with the heart of the true believer. I think we've encountered that a few times already, especially when they were in that like alternate universe and he was trying to convince everyone who they were and madness ensued. So again, like keeping just that, they like actually checked their notes this episode and was like, right, okay, so Henry is the heart of the truest believer. He's the one who's going to have to try and, you know, step up his game. And he was going after the Black Fairy. He knew where to go to communicate with this family. He knew, like, it just showed how much he has been paying attention and should not have been on the sidelines this entire time. And I really thought it was a great, great time to bring Henry in and see what he could do, even though his great grandmother pushed him down the stairs.
Yes.
What was with that? I was like, yeah. Did they really just do that?
Like, what is happening?
I was like, you said you know everything. Do you know that he is literally related to you? Like, the heck?
I think they've like forgot to add that in. I have no idea what was going on there. And also, as soon as this moment happened, it's the only thing. So in every doc, I write general outline notes just so we can keep track of what happened in the episode. The only thing written here is that we need to talk about how Rumpel told Henry that A, the curse didn't affect him, and B, he's out of luck because he's not helping him. He has to go find Belle.
What the hell?
almost threw my remote at television. I was like, honestly, every week I ask, how can you make this character worse? And they find a way. So I've moved past frustration to like, I'm impressed. I'm impressed that they're still able to make this character worse.
There are still depths that they have not reached into Rumpel's terribleness.
Yeah.
Like you can still go deeper, apparently.
Apparently there are some stones unturned. And he can be like this I can't. He was so horrible in this episode.
And yet, good things happen for Rumple. Why?
Why?
All right.
Why?
Let's talk about that because...
Do we have to?
Yeah, this is what I want to talk about because it's the final episode of the season and I need to complain about him one more time. So, like Karen was saying, you watched that episode, the one before the musical, where we find out this little nugget of information that Rumple is technically supposed to be the savior. In order to, A, make that plot line up again in this episode and have some purpose, and B, to not make him a complete horrible, we don't curse on this, so I'm going to keep it clean, person, we have to have Rumple play a part in the end of the story. And Emma's purpose is to bring back the happy endings. But in order to do that, apparently we find out that when good and evil did the right thing, faith was restored. Good did the good. Emma did her good. She went to go take out evil. And evil apparently was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm totally fine and a good guy now, and I'm going to make one good move. And
sigh.
I can't believe.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
as I was, I rewatched both of the episodes with Karen before this, too. I was sitting there, you know, why not? And it kind of dawned on me that I think in the episode before the musical, where we got all of this Rumple backstory and him and the Black Fairy and his whole like hero savior storyline, it occurred to me that what they were doing, and what I don't know if I didn't realize this the first time I watched it or if I just blacked it out because I didn't agree with it, but they really were trying to give you an excuse for every terrible decision that he's ever made. They wanted you to realize that he was supposed to be a good guy. He was supposed to be a savior and a hero, and his mother stole that from him. And so I think they wanted us all to believe that because his thread was cut and because he was turned into the opposite of what he would have been if his fate was allowed to work out the way it was intended, that he is not to blame for his terrible choices. Like, I honestly think that that's where they wanted us to leave that episode, was feeling bad for Rumple and believing that he didn't have a choice in making these terrible choices, that because his mother took away everything that was good about him in that moment, that he is not to be blamed. Working up to this episode now, where he makes a good decision now that his mother is dead and we're all supposed to celebrate his happy ending. Like, it doesn't sit well. The choices he made are the choices he made. I don't care what his fate was. Like, you can, Emma is a good example. Like, she made choices to get where she is. Like, she had to make sacrifices and all that. She, as the savior, could have chosen not to do some of those things, and things could have gone very, very badly, as we saw when she was, you know, one of the dark ones and all that. It's not okay, but I think that's what they wanted us to see.
There are people and fans of Rumple and Belle out there who are shouting from the rooftops about how happy they are, I am sure. And all of it made me uncomfortable. Every single beat of their story. Even their happy ending. Like, Regina, don't pass him a role. He doesn't deserve it. Like, he does not.
Kick him
no
out.
No roles.
Yeah.
No roles for you.
I just don't understand how one choice can invalidate centuries of betrayals and bad choices that he's made and lives that he's destroyed. But he makes one good choice and suddenly everything else is forgotten. Doesn't work like that.
He literally just told his grandson that he wasn't going to help him. And like his whole, oh, well, like my whole family's going to die. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we win some, we lose some.
Thinking objectively from the creator's point of view, like, I don't think they could have gone in another direction because they'd been building him up for so long. Like this back and forth where like we never saw the back and forth, obviously, because he is horrible. But honestly, I don't know. I think I'm to the point where I hate him so much that I'm literally just over it. I'm like, they couldn't have given him a terrible ending, because then all the people who do love Rumpel and Belle would have been really upset. And that's kind of taking out a big contingent of the show. So I guess good for the Rumpel shippers, because it did kind of end up happy for them. But like, I don't care anymore. Like, I'm beyond caring. And the fact that he's going to be in the next season is astounding to me.
Yeah. When they were announcing all the exits and, you know, contract renewals and all sorts of stuff, and he was one of the three main characters who was still on the show, my heart just sank. I was like, well, he can't die. So, and then you had that whole conversation in, you know, the mine where he's talking with himself, and I'm just like, why is this happening? We didn't need it. I don't think we needed it, because we didn't need that character to grow to that place. It was too quick. Just like they're trying to make Xelena work, like they're trying to make Rumpel work. And there's just some actions that are just not, they're never going to work. They're never going to be forgotten. And so I feel like we're just running around in circles trying to convince us of the same thing that's not happening.
I also couldn't figure out the logistics of that Rumpel, Mr. Gold Rumpel discussion. Like, did he return from the Enchanted Forest with all of them? Because, like, that doesn't make any sense. I didn't see him on the random circle in the courtyard that Emma saved that they were all trapped on. Like, I wasn't really sure what the heck was going on. Like, if this was in his head, or if we were supposed to believe that Rumpel was there with Mr. Gold. Like, it was just kind of strange. And yeah, I not being a Rumpel fan, I wasn't that excited to see him make any sort of good decision anyway, but that the whole logistics of that confused me and kind of took me out of the scene too.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping that it was meant to be like where any other show would do that, you would know that it was in their head. But since this show has so many magical and weird elements, it makes sense that, like, could he have come over? We just dealt with two Reginas who are actually really two Reginas. So, like, you know, it's one of those devices that, like, you can't use in this series without explicitly making it known that that person is not there. Like, for example, you have to have Belle being like, who are you talking to? You know, in order to take you out of that scene.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, it didn't occur to me that it was anything but in his head. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with Caitlin. I did think that it was in his head, but I do see how it could be confusing with this series. Oh, so anyway, that's something that happened. Rumpel's the worst, and again, was pretending to be under the curse so he could get inside his mother's head. And then we had this, like, leading into the showdown, which I want to go into next, we had this weird, like, Voldemort moment where, you know, Rumpel kills his mom, but she, like, does the Voldemort, like, dust melt.
She turned into Fairy Fetty.
It was like, I was like, what is happening here?
What the hell?
She was getting dusted like a vampire on Buffy.
Yeah. She did. Yeah.
But she left a mess.
That's true.
Yeah, that happened. And I think, Caitlin, you tweeted this, like, why couldn't we do this 2 weeks ago? Like,
exactly. Why?
I feel like this Black Fairy, A, the motivation was foggy at best the entire time she was around. And also, she was not, like, a formidable enemy. She wasn't any worse than Regina at her worst, or even Cruella. Like, I felt just not threatened by her, because every time something was happening, either Emma just was like, literally just walked out of the room and she did nothing to stop her, or, you know, she just talks a big game, but she's easily disarmed. Like, if she's bragging to be, like, you know, the queen of darkness and I invented evil, you know, she just felt very, like, bleh to me all the time. She's gorgeous, great headpieces, but just very bleh. Like, she wasn't a great final villain for this episode.
Yeah, like, her plan wasn't laid out. Like, we didn't know what she was doing. We had no idea why she was doing it for the longest time. Yeah, I agree that you can't just call someone like the ultimate evil and have us believe it. You kind of have to give us something. And up until like this last episode or episode and a half, like we had nothing. So it was, yeah, she was not the foe that they had made her out to be.
Yeah, there was a lot of telling rather than showing, which is the opposite of good storytelling. And I feel like, you know, they knew that there was going to be a final battle at some point. They should have been hinting more at her existence if they wanted her to seem more formidable. But it just feels like she suddenly popped out of nowhere, poorly formed as in an idea.
Absolutely. She was very, oh, we're going to try and get this Rumple story out and we're going to get this savior story out and also get some stuff with the author done. And to have her instigating it, like even when she had that page from the book and she was able to like rearrange it, like I didn't feel any connection to her needing that. This wasn't something we knew that she was looking for or she knew that she needed from Henry, because they didn't even tell us that. So like you were saying, Caitlin, like they were doing a lot of telling and not showing, but they weren't even telling us as much as we needed to know. So it was very, very poorly formed, and I didn't care about her or what she was doing because I knew that they would win in the end. But let's talk about the final showdown, because I think there was some confusion as to what actually happened with them fighting in basically beat for beat the vision that we saw at the start of the season. So what exactly is going on here, Caitlin? What are you confused about?
Basically everything. From the moment Gideon popped up on the street, I started getting lost. What happened? Like, he stabs her and then there's no stab mark in her anywhere, for one thing. I was looking for a wound of some kind and that didn't exist. And then how does Gideon stabbing Emma, how does Emma like giving herself up to be stabbed cause everything to be okay and Gideon to be a baby again? I literally have no concept of what was going on. They were trying to explain like the light must take out light and they can't not fight or something, and I was going by so fast that the logic just went right past me. So basically none of it made sense to me.
I think half of it had to do with what Rumple was doing. Did he crush Gideon's heart? Like, because I didn't even see that happen.
It just like faded, like the color in it faded.
Because I know when he went back up to Belle, he's like, oh, I couldn't.
Like, he was still holding it.
Yeah. He's like, I tried to do the right thing and I couldn't do it. And then it ended up being the right thing.
Like, he made the right choice, but it didn't affect the outcome, I think was something like that.
Yeah, and so I guess like his selflessness combined with Emma's selflessness made everything okay. And so like when he stabbed her, there was like that glowiness. So maybe like it just, I don't know, sucked her magic out or did something internally with magic. But I agree. It was all very just like, oh, we've wasted an hour and 45 minutes. We have to wrap this up.
I will admit to not really understanding exactly what went down with Gideon stabbing her, giant light source thing goes on, her middle looks like it's like dissolving, and then all of a sudden she's laying in the street. Mm-hmm. That part made no sense to me either, but I was like, okay, Emma just quote unquote died. All right, we'll just pretend that that's what happened. I did kind of understand with like Henry giving her true love's kiss and the release of energy after that. I think this is how I kind of interpreted it. That was like the erasing of the Black Fairy's magic in the land. Like anything that was still residual in Storybrooke, like anything she had done was erased with that, because she's dead and the final, you know, person, the final remnant of her magic was Gideon. And now that that's been dispelled, he reverts back to the child that was taken from them by the Black Fairy. So he reverted back to a baby because her magic was no longer a part of him.
But she didn't artificially age him. Like, he lived 28 years.
Yeah. Like, I think I just kind of put that with, like, living in a fairy realm. And that when he grows up, he won't remember what happened. Like, I think Rumpel says, like, it's a fresh start or something like that. And I'm assuming that because the Black Fairy was stealing children looking for Rumpel, and once she was defeated, Gideon was literally existing there as an adult because of her magic. And once she was erased, then he reverted back. That was the only explanation I could come up with.
No, I think that that's a smart way to look at it, but I also now agree with Caitlin, where I'm confused as to what exactly would, like, is he being rewarded? Is Rumpel being rewarded in some way for, like, being that selfless? And so they're like, oh, here's a fresh start, and this is the only way we can think to give it to you. I don't know. I like the idea of her magic going away, because, like you said, like, the curse is then lifted, but also that was done when she died, because didn't they all come back once she died?
Yes.
So then Gideon, if that took away her magic, or maybe it just took away the curse because she had, like, already enchanted the heart at that point.
Yeah.
So, like, his heart was already tied to whatever life he was living. And so, like she was saying, it has to happen because I willed it that way. Right. And then maybe when he did something, it removed that final whatever type of magic from that realm on him.
That's basically where my brain went.
Gotcha.
Not that it's a solid, you know, nothing makes total sense in Once Upon a Time. So, you know, there's still loopholes, but that was kind of where I, you know, explained it out in my brain.
I think for something as big as the actual final battle, which was mentioned in the pilot, it was very confusing and just unsatisfying, I guess. I was like, okay, that's over. Let's move on. And then we had our nice little montage of happiness, but it just felt very, very not, I don't know. I don't even know what type of word to use to describe it. It wasn't my cup of tea, but it did its purpose. We're now moving away from curses, and there doesn't seem to be any particular foe that's coming after anyone. The episode did kick off with a scene in the Enchanted Forest. It says, the Enchanted Forest, during some great threat, you know, we see this older guy running, and he goes and he wakes up his daughter and tells her that she needs to run. That daughter finds Tiger Lily. And later, at the end of this episode, after everyone's sort of wrapped up, we realize that their happy ending, which is, I guess, a happy ending, is at the end of this storybook. It was all of them seated at the around the table with one another, and the little girl plays beat for beat what Henry Mills did and goes and knocks on door 815, and there's adult Henry Mills, because apparently Jared Gilmore aged too quickly and now he's not aging fast enough, so they had to recast. And they bring in a new Henry Mills who is much older and living in Seattle. But Kristen, let's talk about your question, which is, how was Henry in the Enchanted Forest to begin with?
Yeah, okay. So, the bits we got from Lucy, this new little girl, and this, you know, mysterious man that we find out is adult Henry at the end of the episode, when we first see them, they're in the Enchanted Forest, and he's telling her, you have to go, you know, like, you have to run, I'm going to fight or whatever. Taking that in at the beginning of this episode, it felt kind of odd to stick that scene at the beginning, but clearly they just had to have it in the episode somewhere. So they were like, let's just do it as a cold open and then we'll go on from there. I'm just confused because we got our happy ending for everyone in Storybrooke at the end of this episode. They were all in Storybrooke. Henry's going to school. He sees Violet. His mom's kiss him on the forehead as he goes into high school. How does he get back to the Enchanted Forest to have that conversation with his daughter and then get cursed somehow because he's back in our world and does not know his daughter? So clearly there's some sort of curse action. It's the same basic concept as Emma. Like, somehow he was in the Enchanted Forest and was sent back to the real world. And yeah, I was just really confused with all of that. Like, I wish we maybe hadn't gotten the cold open scene and had just gotten the connection of this little girl and the storybook and her knocking on his door. Like, I think that would have been enough. I don't think the connection with her and the Enchanted Forest was maybe necessary. Yeah. So that's the thing that confused me the most.
Yeah. It was definitely interesting to see, like, whatever was behind that door is probably, you know, what was coming, and what that thread is, I'm sure, is the basis of season 7. I'm just assuming, but again, you know, what happened from the time that Henry got on that school bus through when he ended up going back to the Enchanted Forest? Was it like a lost moment where they're like, we have to go back, and then they all go back or something, and then everyone dies except Henry, older Henry, Hook, Regina, and Rumple, because those are the, and I guess then there's Lucy, but those are the only people coming back officially. I don't know. I think that's something that we're going to have to definitely tune in to find out, but it did raise a lot more questions than the actual plot of the episode with the current cast, because I think they wrapped that up pretty well. And then, you know, oh, the Charming's got a dog. Do you see that? They got a dog.
It was really cute.
I got so excited.
Me too.
Neil was in this episode more than he's been in the past two seasons.
Yep.
Whole lot of Neil.
Yep, lots of Neil.
His little boots.
I know, he's so cute.
And like, yeah, that I kind of wonder if we'll ever see Robin or Neil grown up in this new world. Because Neil is Henry's brother. Like, you know, they could recast those very easily as they've aged. You know, they can keep those characters in the story without having to worry about previous casting. So that's,
Well, Neil is Henry's uncle.
Oh, that's right.
I know.
This family tree. Yes, Uncle Neil.
Yeah, and we also will then have baby Robin, like you said, and also Gideon.
Yep.
You know, they'd have to cast a younger, like a middle version of Gideon, because we already kind of know what he looks like when he grows up.
Yeah. All hope right. That actor, you know, wants to stick around.
Yeah. Giles Matthey, what are you doing next year? You want to go back to the Enchanted Forest? We might have something for you to do.
Just keep, you know, just a thought. Like, keep it in, you know, consider it.
And I just wanted to end this episode with one question. What did you think of the endings for all the characters who were leaving? Were you satisfied with where they are? Frustrated? The only people who are coming back will be Hook, Regina, and Rumple / Mr. Gold, depending on which world we're living in at the time that this show returns. I'm just curious, what do you think of the end of Emma and the Charmings, and whether or not this is really the last that we will see them? Because I know the creators are really keen on saying, I don't think this is the last time we're going to see them, but these actors are choosing to step away from the project. So even if they do come back, it'll just be for, I'm sure, like a publicity type of, you know, sweeps week episode. So what do you guys think of just seeing, knowing, going into this episode, kind of knowing that this was their final goodbye?
Honestly, I was really into all of the endings except for Rumple. I think that, you know, they walked backwards on Rumple a huge amount, and it's really unfortunate that Belle had to take the brunt of that. But of course, we talk about that about every week, so I don't really need to explain why. But other than that, yeah, I was just really happy with everybody, and I thought they did a really good job of just kind of making it seemed like they were going on with a normal life. And of course, by the end of it, you realize, no, stuff still happens to everybody. But between that time and now, it just felt like they finally are getting everything they want. You know, Mary Margaret goes back to teaching, and you see Regina and Emma together with Henry. And it was all just very sweet. And I think it did really feel like a wrapped up ending to me.
Hook and Emma are working as co-sheriffs.
Yeah, that bug is not intimidating, Emma. Why? You have patrol cars. Use them.
Well, that bug, you know, we have to hit on everything.
Yeah, I agree with Karen. Like, I really liked the endings for everybody except for, you know, Rumple and Belle, which as they played the Tale as Old as Time, Karen and I both like audibly sighed. We'll never be on board with that. But, you know, I am happy that Belle is happy and that she has a son to raise. I'm just not so happy about the Rumple of it all. But yeah, the rest of it, like, it all just felt like a series finale. If this had been the end of the show, I would not have been upset. If they would have taken out all of the adult Henry stuff and just had, you know, these 2 hours be the final bit, I think I would have ultimately been satisfied. Not necessarily that everything went exactly as I hoped. It was, you know, they gave us a good solid ending that was fun to watch.
Yeah, if they cut off that last bit, it definitely could have served as a series finale.
Yeah, it felt very series finale. And I also liked everything but Rumple, because stop trying to make Rumple happen. It's just not working, but I really did enjoy everything else. It felt like people ended up kind of where they needed to be and where they were going to be happiest, and that ends up being very satisfying.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, going in knowing, I kind of wish they didn't announce all of the cast changes beforehand. Like, knowing that Jennifer Morrison was leaving was one thing, but then knowing that no one else was coming back just made me think, when they did reveal that it was Henry, it was more like, okay, well, what happened to all these people, and how is Hook still in the picture, and how is Regina still in the picture, and why is Rumple still in the picture? And just, you know, then there's no Belle, and there's, you know, there's all of these people who aren't coming back. That kind of frustrated me in a little bit, because I feel like Regina might still need a little bit of a happy ending, and we do have a Regina existing in the Enchanted Forest, and we have a Regina existing in Storybrooke. So there's two possible ways her character could go when the show returns. But then you also have, like, a Hook. Like, what could have, like, where is Emma? And if Henry is, like, a reset because, you know, he's not aware that he has a daughter, let alone probably doesn't know anything else that he doesn't have. Like, is Hook going to, like, roll into the Seattle port and bring him back? Because, you know, that's what he did with Emma that one time. But I'm just nervous about seeing Hook alone, because we finally settled with Emma and Hook and their co-sheriffship, and they need to go on a honeymoon, and I'm sure they have plenty of happy years ahead of them, but I can't think of anything but bad news when Hook comes back and Emma doesn't, even though Jennifer Morrison, like, has one episode in the bank to come back, and I think that's just going to be to tell what happened in the meantime.
I would be fine if Henry needed Hook's help and Hook comes out and the entire season takes place over a week and then Hook goes back to Emma. Mm-hmm. If something like that were to happen, then that's cool. Like, I totally see it. But knowing this show and timelines, like, Hook being with Henry and Emma not being in the picture for the long run would be just weird. So yeah, I don't know how they're planning to explain all of that away. I'm sure they have some sort of idea of how it's going to work.
I was just going to say, like, the only thing that comes to mind is, like, Emma's dead. I'm like, don't really want to see that.
Mm-hmm. No.
Exactly.
Or she's cursed, or under a sleeping curse, or something ridiculous.
Yeah, and Belle is gone, so, like, Rumple's probably going to be on the war path, because I'm sure something happened to her that is unfortunate, because I feel like they can't give that character a break.
Unless she left him and took Gideon and ran away.
Honestly, that was the best part of this whole episode, was the Black Fairy telling them that she left him. Horrible for Gideon, but great for Rumple, even though he knew it was a lie. Like, when, for those, like, brief fleeting moments when you didn't know that Rumple knew that she was lying to him, it felt really good. She's, like, off and, like, photoshopping her into all these pictures. It was so great.
I did want to mention, I liked some of the, like, direct callbacks to the pilot and to earlier episodes, especially with the beanstalk, which was such a big moment for Hook and Emma to, like, bring that back here. Yeah, it was a little unnecessary, but I liked the bromance, like, him and David getting a chance to kind of go on an adventure together was kind of cute. And like seeing the blue star candle on the counter and Emma walking into her apartment and like it being the door that we saw all those, you know, years ago, it was just nice to kind of wrap all of that in and see her in the red jacket again, because she hasn't worn it in a while. And that was all very nostalgic and cute, and they did it in a really fun way. So I appreciated the nostalgia aspect of this episode.
Yeah. And I feel like they got everyone in, which was also nice. Like they had, even in like the montage at the end, they feel like they really tried to get everybody in there. Like they had the dwarves, like, you know, that's like Regina's happy ending right there. Like not being feared. And so they like put the queen on her door. I thought that was really, really sweet. And cute.
Then bowing to her.
Yeah.
Oh, that was that so sweet. That
killed me when they bowed to her. Oh, loved it.
That was an awesome way to show, like, cause you know, you think like all these people like, oh, well you think happy ending. You think like, oh, I have like Zelina has her daughter and, you know, Rumpel has his family and Emma has Hook and the Charmings have each other and Neil and their whole family. And then Regina, like they kept trying to push the fact that she needed like romance and everything was like, oh, I won't have a happy ending till I have love. But really all she wanted was just for everybody to not be afraid of her anymore. And I'm kind of glad that that was the way that they chose to show that. Cause like there was no dialogue during any of those scenes. And I liked that they were able to do it silently. Oh, I also really liked that Lucy's storybook looked different.
Yeah. Like that it wasn't the ages old giant brown storybook.
Because like we know that the Sorcerer's House has like tons of those blank books.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's something different I thought was really interesting.
And that it's her storybook, like Henry's was pretty distinctive and it looked like that and it's always kind of been his. So you know, you're starting a whole new story. I think it's really cute that they gave her a very different looking book and, you know, away we go.
It will be restarting come the fall. No word on how long it's going to be or, you know, anything like that. It could be a shortened season. It could be a longer season. Who knows? Oh, also, did you see the Wonderland nod when the realms were coming back?
Yes. Karen and I were like, just keep going. Just keep moving. Just keep going. Just move on.
I wanted Will to like throw up like a flare from the maze being like, I'm down here, guys.
Oh, Will. Another.
Oh, well. Maybe he'll come back.
We love Will Scarlet. If anyone's listening, you know, bring him back. We quite enjoyed some Will Scarlet.
All right. Let's finally stop talking about Once Upon a Time and go off into our own respective happy endings of summertime for hiatus. So we hope you enjoyed Once Upon a Time Season 6 with us. I know it was a rocky road for us here on Onceable, but hopefully you got some enjoyment out of our disdain for the episode and some joy out of the moments that we did love and appreciate. We will talk to you sometime soon. And until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caitlin.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.